Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm healthy. I want to stay healthy. I like the idea of what the product is all about. I believe in the body's ability to heal itself, and I also believe that fruits and vegetables from God's great earth are the best way to do that. This is derived right from fruits and vegetables, and there's no extra chemicals involved. And I thought, you know what? If I can just keep my immune system super strong, I'm in favor of it. So far, I've been able to avoid any sicknesses, and I just like to stay out ahead of these things.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
That mainstream media has sold you a box of rocks. It's time to tune into the Kate Daly Show. America's newest addiction. The show starts now.
Back in 2016, we put out a call for nominations, trying to capture the diversity of background, of experience, of the American electorate, the people that aren't currently represented. We got over 10,000 nominations. Out of those 10,000 nominations, we found Alexandria.
My brother told me that he had sent my nomination in the summer, but I was like literally working out of a restaurant.
Huh. Out of 10,000 submissions for names, and the best they could come up with was AOC. Because she was working in a restaurant and didn't know her brother sent in her name. You know, I don't know about you, but it strikes me as very interesting to submit names for a group to pick a congressperson to support rather than somebody just wanting to run for office. Huh. Anyway, I cannot believe. Now think about this for 1 second before we start the show in this last hour. Think about this for a second. We're supposed to have elected officials run for office because they have these great ideas and they want to restore the Constitution or what have you. And the American people did not get angry when they found out, because these guys were very vocal about it, that they took in nominations and interviewed 10,000 people to pick somebody that this group with an agenda wanted to support in that race. And she was able to get that group's support and oust an incumbent. What does that tell you? Anyway, why aren't the American people upset about that? Since when do we have play auditions for congressperson? Since when is congressperson the musical the newest event in American history where we pick them through an audition process for a group with an agenda? Please tell me. Why didn't the American people get angry about that when they put out the video even telling people this is what they did? And this is why we got AOC. Anyway. All right. Not that it hadn't been done before. This was just the most opportune moment to tell you they were doing it. That's why I can't believe the American people weren't upset by that. But anyway, you know. Hi, Susan Reeve. How are you?
I am doing excellent.
We have quite a topic. I don't ever think we've talked about this on the show. So this will be fun. I always love new topics.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's kind of a new topic, but it's based on something that that I was able to do on Sunday, which was attend a private screening of a new movie. And you've talked before about Operation Underground Railroad.
Yes. I had Tim Ballard on probably 3 or 4 times.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's written books. He's appeared on many, many programs. And he runs an anti-child trafficking organization. Mm-hmm. And he had worked for DHS, actually. And when
he was CIA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when he found out that the children he was coming across, who were citizens of other countries, as he was doing missions in other countries, that DHS said, you know, you can't use any of our resources to help these trafficked children there because they're not American. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason for us to be helping them. So he left his position at DHS with 10 months to fulfill his pension requirements. Mm-hmm. And they made a movie about this, and they made a movie about a specific incident in his life. And it is so, I was worried when I was invited to this. I thought, this is going to be hard to watch. And somebody even said to me, this is going to be hard to watch. The first, I would say, 20 minutes are hard to watch because it has to set up with the trafficking of a child. Right. And so that is hard to watch. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the movie, especially with Jim Caviezel, who many people know is from Passion of the Christ.
Sure.
Excellent.
Very outspoken, which I love him because he's very, very outspoken. And he was even on a Fox News interview and he just went off. And I was so glad to see him actually nail down some truth on Fox News. It was nice.
He is very, very actually passionate about what he does. And so in this movie, his performance is absolutely magical. And because it's kind of a sting operation to rescue kids, you are just cheering along with the good guys. Mm-hmm. And there's anticipation and there's suspense and you're just on the edge of the seat. But it isn't this feeling of absolute dread and, oh, this is awful. No, it was extremely.
What's the name of the movie?
Sound of Freedom.
And they don't have a distributor yet. They're working on that, right?
No, they don't have a distributor because the topic is so controversial in Hollywood.
Right.
And Hollywood.
Well, why cover something that Hollywood's doing?
Well,
I mean, come on, let's just be honest.
There is clearly something amiss. Right. And actually, as I got into the car and NPR was on, there was another woman talking to the host about how her movie about abortion got all this great distribution and money, and the BBC jumped in, and because it was an indie independent movie about pro-abortion.
Oh, of course. They have all the backers.
They have.
Anytime you want to murder babies. Yeah,
and so here is just this phenomenal movie. And it's something like 2 million children a year are trafficked. And you can't even believe it. So then after I met Jim Caviezel, it was just such an honor to do that after he played such a remarkable role, because Tim Ballard is actually a remarkable person, as is his wife who supported him. But Jim Caviezel talked after the movie and about his children that he adopted from China, and they both had serious health problems. Nobody wanted these children. I think one of them had a brain tumor. It may have been the other one as well. And so he took these children and said, these are valuable children. And he is very, very committed to what his belief system is. And that is in part why there may be some distributors who are hesitant to step forward.
Sure.
But he has backers like Glenn Beck. He has backers like Tony Robbins. He has big backers. But a distribution for a movie is different. And they don't want to just do it streaming because it is so impactful on the big screen. They want that to be the thing too. So when I got home and I started thinking, you know, I've actually never watched Passion of the Christ because the trailer was so difficult to watch that I thought, I'm not going to make it through this movie. But because I met him, I thought I should. And what I didn't realize is that Passion of the Christ flips back and forth. It kind of starts, I believe, in the Garden of Gethsemane and then flips to more peaceful, happy times where he's doing miracles. So it's back and forth and back and forth. But when I got to the point where the Jewish leaders, who were his most stringent opponents, and this is not to say anything against Jews, this just happened to be the consideration of the time because he was a Jew and there were many more Jews who supported him. They were out for blood when they came to Pilate, and Pilate could not understand what was going on, as is portrayed. And he said, well, how about if we just have him scourged? How about if that wasn't good enough after they saw how horrible he looked? How about if we send him to Herod? That wasn't good enough. How about if we what is it that you want? How about if we release him instead of this murderer? That wasn't what they want. They got angrier and angrier because they needed a scapegoat. They needed a scapegoat. So then I started looking up words on scapegoat. And there was a famous author. He was an anthropologist. He studied all aspects of humanity. He studied, this is what he studied, Cervantes, Shakespeare, Proust, Dostoevsky. And he realized, this man, René Girard, who died in 2005, that human desire is not a linear process. We don't just naturally have certain desires. those desires that we want mm-hmm. are created by other people. And then we model those desires. Why do people want all this power in Washington? You're not mm-hmm. born
right.
with that desire.
Mm-hmm.
So once you have all these inculcated desires, and media advertising does this to you, then you're in a rivalry with all these people who want what you want. Mm. There's all this competition. So through history, he says, what has happened is to get rid of all this internal conflict is that you create a scapegoat.
Mm.
You create a scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
You put on all of the blame on the scapegoat. And then you make sure that scapegoat is either dead mm-hmm. or has no way of ever coming back.
Mm.
And as I realized that, and then I just looked at the second impeachment of Donald Trump,
right.
I thought, nobody understood what that impeachment was for.
Yeah. I mean, even those doing it. I honestly, it was, yeah, to demonize, but it was strange. It was really strange.
It was really to try and make sure there was no hope of mm-hmm. him ever coming back.
Right, right. Yeah, that's interesting.
They had to bury mm-hmm. him deep. And that is a qualification of a scapegoat.
Mm.
So because I've been watching all these videos on Jewish survivors of Nazi Germany and listening to their full 2-3-4 hour stories,
mm-hmm.
I have picked up some amazing details and realize how they became scapegoats. They became scapegoats in part because they were the merchant class.
Yes.
The merchant class.
Yeah.
They had a lot of stuff. They were prosperous.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the woman who was a Viennese young woman at the time said when Kristallnacht happened, it happened in Germany, but it happened in Vienna as well. And I believe in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, once those stores were broken, people went in and looted them. They
right.
took stuff. And she goes, these were our neighbors.
Yeah.
She said, and everybody was doing it. And their justification was, if I don't do it, someone else is going to take it anyway. I might as well take it. She said they turned so quickly because of the desire
mm-hmm.
to have the stuff. This is the mimetic desire. It means to mimic a desire. So when you grow up as a child, mm-hmm. I personally did, watching my mother get dressed in beautiful dresses, put on lipstick and go out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that is really nice. And
right.
I'm happy to model that when I get dressed up and
yeah.
go out.
Sure.
And I didn't realize not everybody is. Some women who I've mm-hmm. read online said my mom never dressed up and went out. And so I just wear sweats constantly. I thought,
yeah.
really?
Yeah, look like hell.
Exactly.
Don't care.
There's moments I have that too. So yes. But when you think about why do people want bright, shiny new cars? Why do they want
right.
power? Why?
Right.
All of this is put into them.
They see somebody, you
yes.
know, with the shiny car, with the power. Interesting.
That's right. And so now what people have pointed out, Tucker Carlson just did a brilliant monologue on this, is that the middle class is the new scapegoat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Especially the white middle class has mm-hmm. been deemed the official scapegoat.
Yep, the producing white middle class.
Yes,
pays the taxes. The constant in America. The
yes,
one that shores up government.
Yes, and there's a reason for this.
We'll be right back. More with Susan. When we come back. Susan Reeves with me, and of course, katedalyradio.com for the podcast. Be right back.
We're open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there, welcome back. Kate Daly Show live today, and I've got Susan with me. In fact, get over to Balance of Nature, order up, and make sure that you are ordering extra. I'd have extra on your shelf. Not joking about that. When I did my homework on Balance of Nature, it was that good. Amongst all the supplements out there, this was the best because it had all the fiber and the minerals and the antioxidants and all of the vitamins, everything in it, everything. And that's why I just fell in love with this product and started taking it. Balanceofnature.com. Order up. You need to be taking a food supplement and put in the code KATE, K-A-T-E, and you'll get 35% off and free shipping. It's guaranteed. You can try it out. You'll feel differently. You'll love this product. Make sure that you go to balanceofnature.com, but don't forget to put in the code KATE, K-A-T-E, and get those get the savings as well. But I would order extra and just have it on your shelf. Just know that it's there. 31 fruits and vegetables a day, dehydrated down. It's an amazing product. A lot of love went into that product. Okay, Susan, back here with you. Interesting topic of scapegoating.
It's extremely interesting because what's happened to me is a convergence of these experiences. So watching this movie on trafficked children.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sound of Freedom. And then watching Passion of the Christ and seeing the mob, who could have been anybody. This a mob scenario has been repeated through history millions mm-hmm. of times.
Sure.
It's a furor that arises because of internal violence and contention. And they figured that the only way to resolve that internal violence and contention is to find a scapegoat. But there is a consideration, and that is that they have to really think the scapegoat is guilty. And so they honestly tell themselves that this is real. And so once the scapegoat is expunged from the group, then they go, oh, look at how peaceful we are now. Except they haven't really resolved their internal problems.
Right.
That's the key.
Why they had to designate a scapegoat in the first place.
That's right.
Which is going on with our middle class conservative Christian. If you're white, you're conservative. You're the new demonized class. Tucker Carlson was talking about
this. Yes, Tucker Carlson just did a whole monologue on this. And he said, notice that it is the people in the universities, the intellectuals, who are coming up with these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that it is creating this turmoil. So what is it that they're doing? They're trying to protect their own power by creating a scapegoat,
right,
and directing everybody's attention. But he said, how about this as a solution? Why don't all the Ivy League schools only accept people who come from a poorer class or people who don't have intergenerational wealth? Because the majority of students going to the Ivy Leagues have intergenerational mm-hmm. wealth and a lot of it. It is how they preserve their power. And once you start to see how this system is working behind the scenes and how it has worked through history, then you start to look at, for example, the Antifa and BLM riots, why they were attacking businesses, why they were taking over territory, and why nobody was doing anything about it. In Portland, in Seattle, mm-hmm. in I think it was like 30 cities there were rioting.
Yeah. They weren't going after the elite of the elite. They were going after middle class. They were going after the middle class businesses.
Exactly. Because that has been that is the new designated scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
They are not solving problems in their own communities and working with other people to solve those. They're saying, here is a new scapegoat. Go for it.
Right.
And so they allow it and allow it and allow it as a catharsis. And yet at the end, you are still left with all those original problems because they haven't been solved. All that energy has been focused mm-hmm. at the scapegoat. And so we have scapegoats that have existed through mythology, and we have scapegoats like Pandora, who supposedly Zeus, the whole universe was just men, and they said, well, let's send down Pandora. Mm-hmm. And she was told, don't open this box, and she mm-hmm. opened it, and so we'll blame her for all the problems in the uh-huh. world. There are faiths that say, let's blame Eve
right
for all the problems in the world. It
right.
is a convenient scapegoat that turns attention away from the personal responsibility of focusing on the key problems.
So
it never occurred to me until I read about René Girard and what is called mimetic theory, and how he said this mechanism, it's a scapegoating mechanism, transforms society from contention and violence, but it's only temporary. You constantly need new scapegoats. So originally in history, it was people, and people burnt on altars, and people driven out. Then through the, for example, the Old Testament, they said, okay, let's just do it with animals, and we'll say this is in lieu of a person, right?
Right.
But what René Girard said after studying thousands of texts, he said, once you get to the Gospels of Christianity, now you have somebody who genuinely was innocent and created a scapegoat, who then turned around and said, now you don't need any more scapegoats.
Should have ended it.
I'm already an innocent who was a scapegoat. And throughout the New Testament, there's examples of Christ. For example, the Roman centurion who cuts off Peter's ear. He doesn't take retaliation, you know, just stop and go. And that is how the victims, he's saying, this is not the solution. There's a bigger problem here, and you don't need scapegoats. We don't need to focus on these individuals. We can use forgiveness. And then I started to think, well, then how does justice even work? When we have, for example, these FBI criminals, when we have child traffickers, we have what is called due process. Now, notice on the second impeachment of Donald Trump, there was no due process. They skipped all the steps because they needed him as a scapegoat. Everybody on the left, well, people on the left who hated Donald Trump were already committed to him as the scapegoat. So they just needed to shut him down completely, because that is the definition. He can't come back. If he's going to be a genuine scapegoat. So,
and they were able to actually do it, which is kind of funny.
It's kind of
in the end, right? I mean,
yes.
Senate did not go along.
That's right.
With the plan.
And if you look at Mitch McConnell and how he has delusions that he's just going to be reelected and go on about normal, that is evidence that he thinks we have the scapegoat. Now we don't have to solve these internal problems. We're just going to go on as always. That's the problem with having a scapegoat, is it doesn't solve the problem, except temporarily. And so people are really blind to this mechanism. They don't see it in their own life. They don't see it in society. But once you understand how this works and how it doesn't have to be this way, if you can, well, Christianity came through and the good part of it said, you can be forgiving. You don't need another scapegoat. Christ was supposed to be the eternal scapegoat. So it, that's over. And it gives you power because it helps you refocus and say, there's a way to solve the problems that doesn't include a scapegoat, because our initial intensity and desire is to create scapegoats. That's the human impulse, to create the scapegoats, to project the problem. And it empowers us to say, no, you are not the victim. You're playing a role in this.
Now, let's turn the tables a little bit. Let's talk about our very, you know, conservative right. Do we use the leftists as a scapegoat? Because I think we can. I think it's easy to do that and say we're always a victim of them. Now, one thing that they have in their arsenal is power, and they also have the microphone. They also own the media. They also, and so, yes, they're able to take huge strides in propaganda, and they actually, more than a scapegoat, have power behind them, that they're able to change our society culturally and everything else. And so we do feel that very genuine threat. But then again, there are many people that would probably utilize the left as a scapegoat without ever saying, well, what is the right doing? What are the people on the right doing? Because if you really look at government, they haven't done anything. They really, they're not doing a lot of significant things. And we're not empowering and educating as much as we should be. But I like turning the tables once in a while too, because I want to examine where do we go wrong. And we can go wrong if we're the perpetual victim of the leftists. We're the majority.
That's right.
We have to live our lives.
Yes.
And we have to do the right things. We've got to, you know, live by morals and values and integrity. But it's a trap I think a lot of people can get caught in.
Very true. And he does address that and says that scapegoating operates in individuals at the level of identity. Mm. We construct identities over against someone or something. I'm a woman, not a man. I'm a liberal, not a conservative. I'm an atheist, not a believer.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly, he says, when you start hearing yourself saying, I'm good, not bad, they're bad, I'm good, it's why Jordan Peterson would say to his class, you know, any of you in here could be Nazis. You could commit atrocities given a lot of the similar experiences and choices and the narrowing of options that you had. He says, don't think, oh, I could never do that.
Right.
He goes, you don't know that. So he is trying to show that, in a sense, how your identity should not be shaped by scapegoating others and just assuming the worst. And this impulse that you see happening among so many people, because how many people just said, oh, I hate Obama, hate Obama. Mm-hmm. I never felt that way. I thought I could see what he was trying to do, and maybe he did not have good intentions. Maybe he's part of this oligarchy, which he probably
is.
Scapegoating other people.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day,
for sure.
The end of the day, you don't want to fight that, but by becoming like them and creating that same persona in yourself by scapegoating other people, just to inhibit yourself from ever doing that, and then looking for other options, being more creative. We've talked about lateral thinking, having hope by thinking of other ways to get around things.
Because it is a trap. I mean, we could be the victim over and over again. We used to say on the air, you know, we always feel pummeled. Like we just keep, we're always on the defense and we keep getting pummeled. Well, that's not really true. We are the majority, but the majority is going to have to act against what the leftist progressives are trying to do to this country, right? The globalists, what they're trying to do to the country. And yes, it's okay, I think, to identify an enemy, right? You can identify an enemy because obviously it's what they're about. They want to annihilate America. But then you also have to look and evaluate, well, what have we done about it, right? That'd be a really truthful response to this. What have we done about it?
That's right.
When we had all the power several years ago, we didn't do much. I'll tell you that. We didn't do much.
Intentionally.
We didn't have the media, but we did have government at the time. But we really didn't have government is the issue. So I just always want to look at all sides of that because you bring up such a valid, interesting, great point, amazing point. Be right back. More with Susan when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Kate Daly Show. Go to katedalyradio.com for the podcast. Of course, we're live today. I've got Susan with me and bringing on a new subject, talking about scapegoating. It was interesting because I was just reading a piece by a local large newspaper in my state, but the people behind this very large newspaper are total tools. I mean, they're just the worst, and they're very liberal progressive. Well, they wrote this whole opinion piece on the reason we have distrust in America was because Trump said that the media was the enemy of the people. And no, it's because the media lies all the time and they get caught all the time and they deliver agenda all the time. And Trump was merely pointing out the truth. But the whole article was about how if we just had trust in the politicians, then we would have trust in the system. And the good politicians are the ones that say, trust the system and trust everything and you'll be just fine and give you a load of horse crap and you'll be great. And if you could just trust the media again, that would solve all of our problems because that darn Trump and his supporters tried to take all of it away. And as I read through this mind-boggling
justification
piece of poop, I sat there and thought, this is the problem. See, these are the things we're getting told, and it's just lie after lie after lie. And it's sad because the lies are getting rolled up in the scapegoating of individuals. And so, of course, 75 million Americans and Trump. We don't trust because we believed what Trump said. No, we were just cheering him on because we were just glad he said something we've known for a long time is really what happened. But they don't want to identify that for a reason, because they want us to trust in the media still, even though we have the same media basically that China has. And so when we're talking about this, you know, did he take responsibility as a person in the media saying that the media has been lying? No. He had to then scapegoat it on conservative Americans who are just so stupid we believe what one person would tell us, and it wasn't reflective of our true thoughts and what we were already thinking before that person even came along. See how that works? But it's funny to me when media people in the mainstream do not take responsibility for all the lies they've told and the shoring up of the script-written agenda that they read. They have to blame it on us, and they have to blame it on Trump, and they have to blame. It's the same scapegoating and no personal accountability.
No personal accountability, and it's worked so well for them for so long in so many ways.
50 years. Mm-hmm.
Except people are starting to wake up because, in part, Trump said, wake up.
Yeah.
There was another...
We're just glad he was saying it out loud. Yeah. Nobody ever had.
There was the Q movement, which some people asserted was to just wake people up and say, there's another way to think about this, instead of promising or whatever. But it made people stop and think, who are we trusting? What is coming out of their mouth? And why would we automatically trust it just as it's dished up to us?
Yeah.
One of the people on the FCC, because the Democrats are trying to censor and get news networks like One American News Network and Fox News kicked off of cable stations because they say they're promoting fake news mm-hmm. and hate speech. They're trying to push this through Congress, which is stunning. And one of the FCC people said, join me in publicly denouncing their attempt to stifle political speech and independent news judgment. And I thought, that's very interesting, news judgment, because what does come through the news is a filter. So we get a different type of filtered news through CNN. We get a different type of filtered news through Fox News. And it's completely different through One America News Network. And so it is our judgment as individuals, mm-hmm. as we are absorbing news stories. People ask me all the time, what do you think about this? They're asking for my judgment.
Yeah.
When we see news on news networks, they will provide facts, but then they offer their judgment mm-hmm. a lot of times. And so for congressmen to get involved and say, that's hate speech, our judgment of political events mm-hmm. is hate speech,
right.
is a way to focus the attention and to make us scapegoats.
Right.
And make those news network scapegoats. Who remembers when Barack Obama said, nobody needs to be watching or listening to Rush Limbaugh? Do you remember that?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because he was saying that was the signal. Rush is a scapegoat. You don't mm-hmm. need to listen to him. He's basically doing fake news. And so people went, wow, I'm going to listen even more.
But they'll never point out why. So they'll never tell you what he's saying. You know, they'll never. Now, Rush didn't go 10 layers deep. He should have, but he didn't.
No.
But what he said was right on the money in identifying the mechanisms of Washington, right? But isn't that kind of interesting that usually when they're scapegoating, they can't identify the reasons. This person in this news column, in this opinion column, couldn't really identify it, but we were just the bad people that didn't trust. We just didn't trust. And it wasn't because he wanted to identify who was actually misleading people and being deceptive.
That's right.
And so I always find that kind of funny, as it's very shallow. They can't identify any reasons.
Well, it has to be shallow.
Yeah.
Because if they start looking...
It's an excuse.
Right. If they start looking carefully, it's mm-hmm. going to turn right back around to
right.
why do our streets have potholes in the inner city when our mm-hmm. congressman is channeling billions of dollars?
Right.
What is going on here?
And see, the right's looking at a lot of these progressive liberals and they're saying, you're an enemy. That's not a scapegoat. That's just an identifier. You're an enemy to this Constitution over here. You want to completely change this Constitution. There's nothing wrong with that, because the ideals are a change of the Constitution, and they admit it. They don't like how it's written. They want it to change.
No.
So it's an identification of the problem, right?
It totally is. We are not trying to destroy those people.
Yeah.
That's what the scapegoating is.
We just want to uphold the Constitution.
Yes.
And we're saying this is an enemy of that particular document, the law of the land, that's supposed to be upheld, right?
That's supposed to give us freedom and liberty, and we can see the people who are impediments to that.
So they're not calling us an enemy of the Constitution. They're just calling us, they're naming us as the scapegoat.
Yes.
We're the awful people that don't trust in their propaganda enough. We're the awful people, even though they can't dial in why.
Right.
We're the awful people, right, that like morals and values. We're those awful people.
Right.
over and over again.
And whatever happened
demonizing.
To demonizing. Yeah. And whatever happened to earning trust? So the government does not deserve the benefit of our doubt. You know, giving someone the benefit of the doubt, maybe when you meet someone, yes, but the government
not
doesn't
after
deserve
all the lies.
That. Not after.
I did a show on Friday and people were calling in with the government lies. We didn't have enough show. I mean, we could have done an entire week on having just call-ins on this show for all the government things that they've lied about that they've had to admit later.
Exactly.
It's amazing. So why would you trust them? What do you mean?
Give them the benefit of the doubt. They have such a long road to come back to any form of trust.
Right.
They have to verify everything to us.
What are we, the abused wife in this?
Right.
I mean, honestly,
that's what
it feels like.
I have said we are in an abusive relationship with our government.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot think of how that would be an untrue statement.
Yeah. You're exactly right.
Because of how they treat us, what they think of us, and what the plans are for us. This was a plan in terms of the COVID, in terms of all the mail-in ballots that didn't have signature verification. It was all a plan.
Yeah.
So if they're plotting against us, why would we trust them ever?
And like we said, when they can't short up, they're telling you that you must shove a shot in your arm that has no COVID in it. And so they won't identify all the things about it that are safe because they can't, because it's not safe. So what do? They just demonize those who don't want to take it. They scapegoat those that don't want to take it. You're the danger to our society, instead of naming themselves as the danger. Because if you look under the hood, there's nothing there to say that it's safe for you.
No. And this is really the basis of a toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what they call toxic relationships, where one person is trying to force something on the other person and just escalates the force when the person isn't compliant. That's toxic.
Yeah.
And yet, what is it they're doing? They're doing this. It isn't an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things Girard says, this René Girard, who talked about mimetic theory, he says, we have been so deeply habituated into patterns of escalating violence, like people who just kind of ratchet up the pressure if we're not willing to do what they say at step one. We're just going to ratchet up the pressure. We're going to make it impossible for them to fly. We're going to make it impossible for them to go to stores, just like what they did with the Jews, and not flying, but going into stores at
having
certain times.
Life.
Yes,
having
a regular life. And it said, it's so, the scapegoating mechanism is so perfectly self-justifying. You can really feel good about yourself when you're scapegoating somebody, because it justifies your view of the world. Instead of you saying, there has to be a pause. The pause is a blessing to say, wait a minute, I don't want to scapegoat anyone. I don't want to scapegoat anything. Let me look at this another way.
Right.
Let me try and see it more deeply is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And people don't like to think deeply about this, because the default is with the herd.
Right. Well, when I'm thinking deeply about this and I'm locating and identifying an enemy, I can explain every reason why. I can give you the facts. I can tell you the changes. I can show you by their own words what they're about and what they would like to do. So there's nothing scapegoaty about it, because I can tell you and explain to you all the facts surrounding why I've named somebody an enemy, right?
That's right.
But in a scapegoat version, when they're naming an enemy and they want to scapegoat, there'll be nothing else said. It'll just be demonization.
That's right.
Right?
That's
Look
right.
at Christ. Demonize, demonize, demonize. Can't explain why. Just believe he's a threat. kill him, right? Yeah. Same
right.
thing.
Blasphemy, it's just, random.
Yeah, it's just always empty.
Well, and it's not a due process. And so in a modern civilization, we like due process with honest people and honest information coming forward. When you think about the destruction of the statues around the country, and now even in certain places, they're saying we want to take down Lincoln. He wasn't perfect. There were other people who came forward and said, you know what, we actually agree with you that there shouldn't be these Confederate statues, et cetera, but let's have a commission, a local commission, where we go through the facts and we make the determination, because a lot of people do agree that maybe those statues shouldn't be there.
Right.
They said, no, we're just tearing them down. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Is that there was no due process in any of it. And so that's a good question for anybody to ask. Where's the due process? Let's look at these facts as dispassionately as possible and make some determinations, not ratcheting up pressure,
right?
Which is a violation of our individual agency to not be forced into doing something, or our lives become more and more constricted. So there's just a lot to think about with this, and I think he is right on in this.
Yeah,
is the scapegoating mechanism
scary
through history? Yes.
Yeah,
and how easily we fall into it, both privately and in our public lives.
Yeah.
So,
and I always get disgusted with people that won't be curious, won't ask questions. You know, curiosity is usually going to be the reason you're going to look under the hood. You're going to ask better questions. You're going to be a deeper thinker. And I get so disgusted that people don't, there are people out there that just don't want to be, they just don't want to go there. And we could actually poke so many holes in the scapegoating and the hypocrisy and all of these things if we had people that had a desire just to be a deeper thinker, just to ask more questions.
That's right.
Right? Just to look around and go, are people dying around me in droves? No.
Right.
Oh, just the most obvious and most basic questions.
Well, and because it brings responsibility right back to you. Like,
that's
what am I going to do about it if it's not what it seems and I have to look deeper? Now I have to take responsibility to act differently. And so that personal responsibility is harder than simply scapegoating on an emotional level.
Because then you can't betray yourself.
Right.
So it would have been really easy for me to desire to be a talking head on a news station and want to do that and just read the script. I would have been making a lot more money and been doing a lot of other things. But wanting to know truth, you can't do that. You can't want to know truth and have that curiosity and still read their script. Otherwise, you're living in this very strange paradigm that doesn't work.
That's right. And a lot of times through history, a person who was the truth teller was often the scapegoat.
You know what the locals say about me? Oh, that Kate. She's a conspiracy theorist. Don't listen to her on my record. That's public knowledge and that you can look up for yourself. Oh, no. She just is mean. Oh, I get that sometimes. And I laugh because I'm like, really? I'm just mean? You mean I'm up here talking about your own record?
Yeah.
That's public knowledge if anyone wanted to look it up.
That's right.
I just love it when they do that. It just speaks volumes, you know, about who they are as people. It's the scapegoat thing.
Well, anyway, now you can see the
there
game.
There you go.
Yep.
I love this topic. This was awesome. Thanks so much,
oh,
Susan.
You're so welcome.
Susan Reeve, I appreciate her. And scapegoating. Love it. Go to katedallyradio.com. Get the podcast. I'll put up yesterday's podcast right now as well. And of course, katedallyradio.com. And of course, be faithful, be fearless. See you back here tomorrow with Chris Ann Hall. And of course, a guest that came out of communist China. We'll be talking to her as well. And so much going on this week. Everybody have a good one.